In Tibetan Buddhism, basically, when we die, we approach this supernatural clear light of the enlightened realms, which is one step beyond the pleasure or paradise realms of the heavens. And what happens is most of us fear it because we're spiritually unable to withstand the levels of ecstasy and enlightenment because it's too powerful. So we fear it and we seek reincarnation. That's what the Buddhists, to them it's not a belief. To them they have mapped, like an astronaut, Thurman coins the term psychonauts. They have actually mapped the cosmos in the in-between realms. And this is what actually happens. So I'm thinking, okay, in Tibetan Buddhism, everyone is going to be, most of the souls seek reincarnation back in their Earth-like school, but it's not there anymore. It's kind of like a Got Milk commercial, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Got a body? No, there's no more left. So according to Tibet, when I was in India studying with the Dalai Lama in 1996, he's basically telling us where all the souls go in the different compartmental realms they go, very similar to Catholicism or Christianity or Hinduism. They all have the basic same ideas. The only difference is in Tibetan Buddhism, hell realms are not permanent. People only go there for as long as they need to work out that negative karma, and then it expires. So if you really think about that, where else would we go? So we asked Thurman that question first, and his answer is quite shocking to me because he kind of laughs and he comes from this place of compassion and abundance, and he says there's billions and billions of other planets out there. And I said, are there other organic planets? I mean, NASA hasn't been able to see, you know, where these planets are that can sustain human life. And he says, oh, yes. I mean, there, in the Buddhist cosmology, there are billions and billions of other planets, and there's so much abundance out there that, yeah, we'll find a new place to go. But he said, eventually, we will seek reincarnation in a realm very much like Earth. And, you know, that may be, you know, because the Earth isn't here anymore or it can't sustain life for perhaps another 10,000 years until it recycles itself, maybe we'll be in a bit of a bind. But it's really amazing to see him come from this perspective. And then, you know, the real thing is, you know, where are these planets and how do these Buddhas and these great beings traverse the great distances in the universe? So I started to ask him the UFO question from the Tibetan point of view. And at first he kind of ignored the question. And much later into the interview he said, actually, they do have something that deals with this subject, but from their perspective, these great masters travel through these multiple millions of universes through spacecraft that are enveloped around the master's body. They are not machines. They're actually, he describes these towers, and he names the sutra, where these giant towers.
Is it energy?
They're energy manifestations that are, like, it's almost like they have to cloak their spiritual body with an architecture in order to traverse these multiple universes. So that could explain part of the wave phenomena around, you know, even the flying men and some of the flying men phenomena, but also possibly around some of these UFOs. And then he said that there are sutras where they describe these craft as being made of flower petals. And flower petals could be just a metaphor for something really beautiful, mm-hmm, and kind of swirly. Because, you know, these are, you're talking about sutras that were written, you know, in the 6th century AD, Tibetan Buddhism, and Buddha exists 623 BC. So, you know, these are very old scriptures. And, you know, they didn't have light bulbs back then. I mean, they used the metaphor fire for light.
At least we don't think they did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then you look at the Egyptians and you think maybe they really did have electricity. So then we go much further in the interview. We start talking about invisible cities. In Buddhism, there are several names for different cities that are actually on the Earth that are like parallel dimensions to our own planet that we can't see. And until we, according to Buddha, we actually attain higher levels of consciousness that ultimately culminate in permanent enlightenment, which is nirvana. In fact, you don't have to fully attain, you know, full Buddhahood to actually see some of these realms. Apparently, there are cities on our planet that are interdimensional, and I cited Shambhala, which some people know as Shangri-La. And Thurman looked at me.
Saw an old movie about that a long time ago.
Yeah, and Thurman looked at me and he said, Shambhala is not a city. He said, it's a country. It's a whole country. And there are many Tibetan masters who have actually been there, and he said it's sort of, quote, it's in another dimension of Earth, but you can actually go there. It's a real place. It's not a place in your mind, but it's actually here on the planet. So as we got further and further into that, he revealed that there is a prophecy, and he's had conversations with the Dalai Lama about this, that Shambhala will interdimensionally appear to all of us. It will become visible to everyone, and they have a certain date when this is going to happen in their prophecy, and they're estimating it to be 300 years from now. And when this country emerges, which is in the northern regions of our planet, our militaries will gather strength and try to make war against them, and we lose, because very much like Qi masters, they have this power of the mirror in their prophecy, which means if we send a missile at them, the missile just mirrors back at us and destroys us. It's kind of like, you know, in these Tai Chi masters, if you send them a negative thought, the negative thought takes you down. The Qi master is untouchable. So all the beings in Shambhala have this power, and once we lose the war, it marks a new... If you think about this, because how this parallels the Christian story of the Revelation, how there's a new heaven and a new earth, and in a way, that's what this is. This is a new heaven actually interfaces with earth, and earth becomes a paradise. And according to the Tibetans, that this period of peace will last 1,800 years. This is what Thurman was saying. But then he said, wait a minute. He was arguing with the Dalai Lama. He said, if this is in 300 years, he said, we're not going to be here in 300 years. And this is all in the movie From Here to Andromeda, by the way. So Thurman's saying, well, the prophecy must be a lot sooner than that, because we're getting close to the end right now. So he's kind of debating about how accurate their time, you know, scale is. But what's interesting about this myth in Tibetan Buddhism is that it's so similar to the Christian story, once again, of the Revelation, that at the end of this great war, you know, the Battle of Armageddon, you have this massive judgment period, and then you have the new era of peace, that there's 1,000 years of peace according to the end of the Revelation, and then you have a new heaven and a new earth. So you think about what that means. If earth goes into a higher dimension of energy, these invisible dimensions may suddenly overlap, and suddenly you're able to perceive them.